How do we determine the health of the sneaker economy? We're going to break some of this down, this time on Fire Footwear. Welcome back to Fire Footwear, everybody. As always, I'm your host, Matt Freights, and I want to welcome you. If this is your first time, I want to say thank you. It is great to have you. If you're a longtime listener, thank you so much for coming back to this content. Before we get into the topic for this week, I do want to plug a few things. We're very close to reaching some goals, and I do need your help in a few endeavors. Instagram, if you're not following me there, at Fire Footwear Pod is the handle. If you want to be a part of our group chat, that is the place to find me. We love to add new people every single time. If you like more short form content, TikTok at Fire Footwear Pod is the handle to find me there. YouTube, I'm doing a lot of video work these days. Fire Footwear Sneakers Talk is what you would search. Go there, subscribe, like, comment, share the videos. I want some interaction there. We're trying to build a community there as well. And right now you are listening here on whatever podcast app that you use. Whatever it is that you use, subscribe, rate, review, whatever is applicable. It helps me chart. It helps me grow. The discoverability goes up there. All of these things are to help build this community and help me continue to bring great content to you. And I appreciate all of you who have done so far. So I talked at the top of the episode about the sneaker economy. And why am I talking about this? Well, when you look at sneakers today, a lot of people are asking the same fundamental question that we have even asked here on this podcast. And really, we're trying to ask our sneakers back. If you look all around sneaker social media, people are asking the same question, are sneakers back? And even on this podcast, we've talked about the feeling. The feeling to me is subjective. It comes down to every single individual in the culture. What does it mean to you? And I implored you to go out and find out. But every podcast, every YouTube channel is asking this question, and they're trying to ascertain the answer because I think that the culture in general wants to feel like we're hype again. And that makes sense. It felt really cool to be a part of sneakers when it was super hype. Sure, it was frustrating because we couldn't get shoes and resale was insane. But at the end of the day, sneakers is cooler when everybody thinks that it's cool. But when I started thinking about it, I realized that qualitative metrics, subjective ideas are not going to get down to the bottom of the health of what I consider the sneaker economy. To me, there's more quantitative ways mixed in with some of the more subjective topics that I want to discuss here and I want to kind of break down because I think that it does sort of lend itself to a larger discussion about how do we actually ascertain this. Now, last week I talked about being new in the culture and some of those topics and some of those terms actually matter in this discussion here. So if you are new, bear with me, it's going to be a bumpy ride. Let's start with the resale market. Here in the United States where I live, when the economy is away, let's say that it's up or down, one of the things that we point to is the health of the stock market here. And StockX themselves calls themselves a stock market of sneakers, but I think that the resale market as a whole, all the platforms, no matter where they are, no matter how legitimate they are, all of those in combination are really that for sneakers. It's our indicator, the thing we point to try to say sneakers are back. Resale is part of the culture now. There's no getting around it. And it is a major factor in determining where sneakers are. But I think in 2025, it's not quite the be-all, end-all metric that we need to go on, because I think resale has changed quite a bit. Think about 5 years ago. Think about the pandemic all the way through, probably till about what, 2022, when sneaker resale was out of control. It's not just the resale prices. It's the behaviors that go along with the resale. What do people do? What do people buy? How do consumers react? And if you think about the pandemic, everything sold out. Every single shoe sold out, and it sold out very fast. I'm not even sure we were really hip to the idea of stock, if you think about it. Did we really care? No, I don't think we really cared at all. We had to have it, we went out for it, we didn't get it, and then it went on the resale market. StockX, GOAT, eBay, you can even lump in a whole bunch of other places out there, but all of those make up the resale portion of the sneaker economy. A lot of that has gone down. Many people point to the resale market to say, look at the resale market, sneakers are back. Well, right now, yes, there are a lot of hype shoes that have come out recently. Let's take the Brick by Brick Jordan 4. Those are going for a lot of money. Of course they are. They're a collaboration, and we'll get to that in a minute. But not every shoe is there. As a matter of fact, shoes that released last year, I've been able to get for retail just above or just below. To me, that's a good thing. And it's not just one shoe here or there. It's actually quite a few. There's a lot of great shoes out there that you can get at or near retail today that have come out in the last year or so. And I think that that is important to understand because not everything goes on the resale market anymore and sells for a bunch of money. But there's a lot of factors that go into that too, because I think hype is something that is subjective. When I brought this podcast back in September of 2022, I think one of the first episodes I did was trying to define what is hype. And what I was trying to get at was different factors that would say something is hype or not. It almost was really definitional. But today, I think we have to think about hype in two different ways. There's real hype and there's derived hype. And we've even talked about that recently in an episode where I talked about the idea of consolation prizes, that Nike is making things limited and having a release on the tail end of something that is super limited to make people want to buy something because they missed out. To me, that's derived hype. There was real hype for the Bred Jordan 1. There's real hype for the Brick by Brick Jordan 4. And I think that that is something that we need to remember, that the resale market really has to do with real hype versus derived hype. Certain things are going to have real hype associated with it. Certain things are going to be derived. So don't just take the resale market and the prices that you're seeing for specific shoes and just take that at face value. Think about it a little bit differently. And that comes down to the shoes themselves. And when I was thinking about the shoes, I realized that many times, especially on social media, when we are trying to ascertain the health of sneakers and the hype of sneakers in a current moment, we are almost always using collaborations as that metric. Really, that's the yardstick that we are measuring by. But collaborations aren't the entire culture. There's also GRs. And if you think about it, GRs are probably the bread and butter of sneaker culture. As a matter of fact, if you go to your collection, how many shoes are collabs versus how many shoes are GRs? I think you're going to find that GRs are what you end up wearing most of the time. And those are the things that were selling out during the pandemic. Not all of them are selling out today. Again, if you're looking and you go on sneakers, you go on Nike, you go to different places, JD Sports, DTLR, you're going to find a lot of shoes are available. And they're available for retail or even on sale. Those are GRs, folks, most of them. And I think that's part of the health as well. Just because the GRs aren't selling doesn't necessarily mean sneakers are unhealthy, but if they're not all selling out the way that they were, we're not quite there yet. And then another category that I'm sort of on the fence about is what I call OGs. And maybe that's not all OG Jordans or all OG any silhouette, but think about Air Jordans for a minute. Whenever a colorway comes out, like the Bred 1, a lot of people feel a way about it. Not necessarily everybody in the culture. I don't know how many younger people actually care about those OG colorways, but there's a lot of people, older people now in the culture like me, where they do care about those things. And people are gonna want those. There's going to be a demand for them. And those are the types of shoes that Nike right now is making limited. I mean, we saw fights about the metallic Air Jordan 5, and we also saw fights about the cool gray Jordan 9s. Now, I don't know a whole lot about Jordan 9s. I know that the cool grays, to me, aren't that great, but you're now seeing fighting over these shoes, and I think that that's a different dynamic. I think that OG Jordans have their own place, and sometimes you have a collaboration on an OG Jordan silhouette, but for the most part, I think OG Jordans, white cements, black cements, things like that, are going to hold a specific place. What's that going to look like 10 or 20 years from now? I have no idea. I'll be in my 60s in 20 years, so will I still care about a shoe that basically is 60 years old by that point? I have no idea. But I think you have to look at all of these different shoes to ascertain the health. Collaborations, for the most part, are always going to sell. Doesn't matter whether they're a Jordan, doesn't matter whether they're a runner, they're going to sell. The whole point of a collaboration is to get some type of a name recognition behind it. Union, Travis Scott, whatever. Salehe Benberry, there's a ton of them. And I think those are always going to sell. They're always going to be limited too. That's kind of the point of a collaboration. If they made it so widely available, it wouldn't feel as special. And collaborations to me should be special. OGs, I kind of am on the fence about those because I feel like there's a part of history that should be made available. But GRs are available. If you want to go out and get a ton of heat, you can get it. And so I think when you look at the shoes that are actually being produced, I think that sneakers is healthy, but I think it's still on the upswing. I don't think we're quite there yet because not everything is selling out. And just because something is limited and sells out doesn't necessarily mean that that hype is being transferred to everything else. Then, of course, there's the sneaker vault. Now, the sneaker vault really only applies to Nike and Jordan brand, but still, you're seeing the sneaker vault open. And why is the sneaker vault being opened? Well, the entire point to me of why it's being opened is because there wasn't enough demand for shoes that were coming out. So what do? We take something that we know everybody loves, something that maybe hasn't actually had a true, real release. Let's get it out there. There's a release that has a story, the Galaxy Foamposites. Let's re-release that. Let's re-release the shattered backboards, whatever. We're opening the vault. And that's giving everybody the perception, again, because these are shoes that haven't released in a long time, are sacred to the culture. Let's put them out there. We'll probably also make them limited too. And people will think sneakers are back. I've got to have it. Just opening the vault in and of itself isn't necessarily a sign of health. And then we get into the business element of it. And this is something you don't hear a whole lot about on many other podcasts. And certainly I'm not an expert, but do we actually care about the actual stock price? I've talked about the stock price before in terms of investing in these companies. I have said, if you don't get a shoe, take the money you were going to spend and buy stock in Nike or ASICS or whatever. And I've done that. That's a very healthy habit to have. Now, the actual Nike stock price has gone down precipitously over the years. When I bought during the pandemic, at the height of the pandemic, when we were in a terrible place economically here in the United States, the Nike price was a good price. And now it's below that. And yet people are still asking and feeling like sneakers are back. What does the stock price have to do with the sneaker market? Well, Nike's stock price in particular is encompassing all of Nike's products. It's not just sneakers. Sure, sneakers are a huge part in that, but it obviously is trafficking so many things athletically. Sneakers and sneaker culture is a really small part of the stock price, but it matters. The stock price definitely matters. If it didn't matter, Nike would not have switched CEOs. And Nike will switch CEOs again if the stock price continues to go down and doesn't go up. What they're hoping for is that all of these tactics are going to help drive the stock price up. So maybe when we're out there trying to get shoes that we want, we don't care about the stock price. Maybe when we're going to the resale market, we don't care about the stock price. But I'll tell you what, the stock price does matter. But we are going to see Nike and other brands looking at their own stock price. We are going to see them make moves to try and drive that price up. I say this every time. Sneaker culture exists and they only care about the culture as long as we, the culture, are making them money. The sneaker economy is all encompassing. There's different elements to look at. And when I sat down and thought about it and I wrote down notes literally in 5 minutes, and I mean notes as in like five words, I was thinking this would be interesting to talk about. This is not a be-all end-all episode about this. As a matter of fact, what I hope is that other knowledgeable folks, maybe even in the sneaker community, and I'm talking about working for brands or have worked for brands, will reach out and tell me some things that I'm not thinking about. Give me different avenues to look into. Because I think all of this is fascinating because I think subjectively and on the surface, content creators and everybody are trying to figure out, is sneakers back? It's a little bit more complicated than just saying yes or no. There's a lot of factors, and I tried to lay them out here. So when you think about the economy of sneakers, when you look at the landscape, don't take one singular incident and make that the way that you determine that sneakers are back. One fight does not make hype. One limited release does not make hype. And just because one collaboration sold out, it doesn't mean that everything is selling out and we're back to not being able to get anything that we want. You also have to look at the replica market. What is the health of that? Are people flocking to that? It's all encompassing. And so I implore you, think critically about the sneaker market. Go out there, buy the shoes that you want, wear the shoes that you want, connect with people like me, but think critically about the market because it is more than just one single element and is more than meets the eye. How do you feel about the health of the sneaker economy right now? I'd love to hear from you. Get in touch with me the ways that I said at the top of the show. Instagram, TikTok, subscribe on YouTube, subscribe, rate, and review here in audio. I appreciate every single person. I hope this finds you well. I hope this finds you safe. And I'll talk to you next time. This is Fire Footwear.
Opinions and viewpoints expressed on Fire Footwear are those of Matt Freights and his guest, and not necessarily those of the Matty Ice Media Network. Fire Footwear is exclusively owned by Matt Freights and is brought to you by the Matty Ice Media Network.